Time to focus on Latin America in our emerging economies. Professor Lyle White joins us now, a research associate at the Brenthurst Foundation, founder of the organization Contextual Intelligence. Lyle, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. It's good to hear your voice.
2030 World Cup. Oh, heavens, we're already thinking that far. Argentina, Chile, Uruguay and Paraguay have submitted a joint bid to host it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I suppose an auspicious occasion as well. Uruguay hosted the competition's first ever tournament back in 1930. And so they want to bring the World Cup home when it celebrates its centenary. This is the dream of a continent, as they say. And the other countries that are doing these joint bids include Spain and Portugal in Europe. They also looking to co-host the 2030 World Cup. But going back in history, the first ever World Cup in 1930, Uruguay beat Argentina in the final to win the inaugural tournament. The next one in Latin America was hosted by Chile in 1962, and then the tournament was held in Argentina in 1978. The president of the Uruguayan Football Association said that it's right for the World Cup to be hosted where it all began 100 years ago. So there's a lot of emotion behind this. Just as a reminder, because I think many of the listeners have forgotten this, given the timing of the World Cup this year. Later this year, 2022 World Cup will be held in Qatar, while Canada, Mexico, and US, or the USA, will joint host the 2026 World Cup. FIFA plans to obviously announce the 2030 host nation around or sometime during 2024.
We certainly wish those South American countries all the best. Peru, their president seems to be in peril. Is this the start of yet another political crisis in that country?
Yeah, and they seem to be a country of cyclical political crises. So amid widening criminal investigation centered on President Pedro Castillo, the Prime Minister Anibal Torres, he quit last week Wednesday. Now, Torres is a longtime Castillo ally. He said he just wanted to go back to a quiet life of legal research. Now, the resignation is the latest casualty for Castillo, who's an upstart left-wing populist, who stunned the country last year by winning the presidency, but who has been beset by scandals, missteps, and the fractious Congress since taking office. He is currently under investigation for alleged treason and running a criminal enterprise from the presidential palace. It's a small wonder that his approval ratings have now plummeted to well below 20%. And if this sounds a little bit crazy, topsy-turvy style Africa, it's not really that unusual in Peru, where political parties are plentiful, but they are very, very small and very weak. And the presidents rarely have solid majorities in the legislature. The country, as one example, went through a period in 2020 where there were three different presidents in the space of just 1 month.
I had a cup of coffee delivered to me at 8 o'clock during Eyewitness News. It was made by a wonderful gentleman named Bongani. He walked the 22 steps to my studio to deliver that coffee. Technology is going to be doing away with Bongani, seemingly.
Maybe not with Bongani, but maybe with the people supplying Bongani's fine cup of coffee. Now, what is interesting with this is that, as you're saying, an estimated 1 billion people around the world drink coffee in a daily regime. It's always this fascinating commodity. We love chatting about it, even if we don't drink it. Some say it's the second most traded commodity in the world after oil. Yet what many coffee lovers might not know is that they are often drinking a brew made, at least in part, from Brazilian beans. Brazil, as many people do know, is by far the largest grower of coffee beans in the world. Africa, they account for over a third of global supplies, actually closer to 40%. In second position is Vietnam, which comes in at around 17%. And 70% of Brazil's coffee plants are the highly priced, highly sought after Arabica species, which is used in that fresh coffee that you received. And the remaining 30% are Robusto, which is used primarily in the instant coffee prevalence across the United States of all places. Now, the problem for Brazil and the world coffee suppliers in general is that, As an example, last year, Brazil's annual crop plummeted by almost a quarter due to drought. And they are experiencing with climate change these perpetual problems of drought. And what that does is there's a massive reduction in supplies and then obviously a rocketing of prices around the world. So Brazil's largest providers are turning to technology. They are using apps to improve the performance of those. One is called CropWise, incidentally, CropWise Protector, where they apply things like drip irrigation or pest control to a very specific area that might need it rather than the whole or the entire farm. And the idea is that a targeted approach is far faster and kinder to the environment, importantly. Each year there are new challenges, but there are also new technologies to overcome barriers. But it's not all about technology. As soon as you have technology, you need training. And what we have seen in Brazil, the increased use of technology is not universal across all coffee producers. And while many have adapted, or many of the big players have adapted, this, a myriad of the small producers, which still make up 66% of the country's crop, are actually lagging behind. On the horizon, the positive sign there, what we've seen is the breakthrough of 5G mobile networks, and this will improve internet connections in rural areas, making technology such as CropWise Protector far more prevalent. And this is all good, not only for Brazil and coffee production, but for you and I enjoying, or being one of those billion people worldwide enjoying our cup of coffee right now.
Well, time for you to go and enjoy that cup of coffee, Lyle. Lovely chatting to you as always. Professor Lyle White, Research Associate at the Brenthurst Foundation and founder of the organization Contextual Intelligence, reflecting on emerging economies, and our focus this morning, of course, on Latin America.